This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونصلي ونسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. First of all, my dear sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I ask Allah Ta'ala that you're all in the best of health and the best of iman, ya Rabbil Alameen. And I just want to say jazakumullahu khairan to my dear sisters, you know, from the Islamic Online Uni for inviting me here tonight to give this talk. And I ask Allah Ta'ala that, I ask Allah Ta'ala to open all of our hearts, inshallah, to what I'm going to say. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to bring us closer to Him through these words, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So my dear sisters, you know, when it comes to learning Islamic knowledge, one of the comments you sometimes we hear from sisters is, who am I to seek knowledge? You know, as if learning knowledge is only for those who are special or, you know, extra religious. You know, a lot of sisters, you'll hear them say, or they might think this about themselves, you know, I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not even practicing Islam properly. And one of the main reasons for that is because even though many sisters may have heard about all the rewards, you know, that are there for, or that are promised for those who seek knowledge, but they don't realize the enormous blessings and transformational change that also comes into your life, inshallah, once you begin to take the path of knowledge. As long as, of course, you did that sincerely with ikhlas for Allah alone. So that's why today, you know, as someone who's been traversing this path myself for, alhamdulillah, more than 25 years, actually, and, you know, and then going on to teach sisters various Sharia sciences, I wanted to share with you some of the ways that I've found that, you know, knowledge has, you know, it empowers you, especially as a Muslimah. But before I get into that, what I wanted to share with you first is one of the main reasons that, you know, got me on this path in the first place, which was that basically, you know, I got sick of how vulnerable I felt due to my lack of knowledge. As some of you may know, I was actually brought up in a practicing Christian household. In fact, both my father and grandfather were lay preachers in the church. And so after I reverted to Islam, what happened was that I found myself in a situation in which all three of the main environments that I was exposed to each day were constantly challenging my beliefs as a new Muslim. Because, you know, I was living at home with my non-Muslim family. I was working full-time in a company where, you know, most of my co-workers had never met a Muslim before. And I was also studying part-time at uni at a time when there were very few Muslims to be found on campus. And so in all three of those environments, I was constantly having, you know, colleagues or, you know, family members throw questions at me, you know, that challenged my faith in Islam. Like, you know, Islam, why does Islam allow four wives? Or, you know, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam marry Aisha when she was so young? And so I found myself in a situation where, you know, I was basically pushed to seek out the answers to those questions. And so that's why for me, especially initially, you know, seeking knowledge became a matter of survival. And then over the years, as many of you would know, you know, you're constantly faced with so many different opinions or confusing issues. And that's why, you know, I realized that the only way that I was going to get peace of mind and not get confused with all those issues was to focus on gaining as much knowledge as I could. Because in reality, it's only through gaining solid knowledge of the deen that a person can experience what's known as ilm al-yaqeen, which is the, you know, certainty and faith that Allah Ta'ala gives you, inshallah, when you sincerely seek this path of knowledge. And to be honest, if it was just this benefit alone that you get from knowledge, it would have been enough. But what I wanted to share with you, inshallah, today, you know, are some of the other ways which I've found that, you know, knowledge empowers you as a Muslimah, bi'idhnillah. And frankly, it's these things I'm going to share with you today that, you know, have kept me motivated to stay stuck on this path, despite the many, many obstacles that I have found have come in my way or, you know, slowed me down in achieving my goals over the years. You know, like, alhamdulillah, having five children and, you know, juggling between teaching and studying and family, and you know, even facing various barriers as a woman to gaining knowledge. That's a story for another day, inshallah. But what I want to just focus on today, like I said, is just, you know, sharing with you the main benefits that I have found, bi-idhnillah. And so from the first of those is that, you know, when you make knowledge a priority in your life, it actually keeps you akhira focused. I call it akhira focused. You know, you're focused on akhira all the time, or as much as possible, not all the time, but it really helps you to be focused on akhira, right? So that weekly halaqa or Quran class that you attend each week, it might not seem much to you, but you don't realize how each time you expose yourself to those small drops of nur, those small drops of light that is knowledge, right? That you, you know, you don't realize how you're constantly nourishing your heart and, you know, directing your heart back to your true goal and direction in this life through that, you know, input of knowledge. And that's why you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says in one authentic hadith, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. That whoever takes a path seeking knowledge, then Allah Ta'ala makes their path to Jannah easy for them. And so, subhanAllah, what you find is that the longer you keep yourself patient on this path, the more you feel constantly motivated to strive for the Akhirah. And you see how it, you know, it begins to have a transformational effect on your life, bi-idhnillah. Because you find over time, you know, you want to pray more, for example. You want to do more dhikr. You want to give more sadaqah. You want to become, for example, a better daughter, a better wife, a better friend. Why? Because what happens is that you find your eyes become so focused on Jannah, bi-idhnillah. And so you find everything that you do or say, you know, suddenly has purpose for it. And so that's what motivates you to want to improve yourself in every aspect of your life, inshallah. And subhanAllah, I've taught so many sisters over the years, and, you know, many of them, they walked into the classroom just starting out in Islam. But over the years, you see how the knowledge they take slowly molds them and develops them. And, you know, subhanAllah, you see how they transform, subhanAllah. So this is why, you know, Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he said, right? That there's nothing after performing the fara'id, like the fad, you know, obligatory actions that Allah has made upon us, which is better than talab al-ilm. Like, so after doing your fara'id, the best thing you could do is seek knowledge. If you want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to be strong in your deen, right? Because what you find is that, you know, while others are, you know, so over-focused on the trivial things of this world, where it's all about, you know, who has more money or who is more so-called successful than who. You know, that's what we find people worried about today, right? Or, you know, who's prettier than who, or what did so-and-so do and or say, right? So you find that while they're worried about all those trivial things, you find that, subhanAllah, what knowledge does to you is it makes you worried about things like, you know, how much Quran can I learn before I die? You know, what kind of legacy am I thinking about to leave behind me to benefit others when I pass away? You know, how can I raise my children, you know, to leave behind me a righteous progeny? So this is, we need to realize that, you know, there's a huge reason for why there's only one thing in this dunya that Allah Ta'ala told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make dua in order for it to be increased. And you all know the dua, you all know that dua most likely from the Quran, وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Ya Allah, O Rabbi, you know, my Rabb, zidni ilma, increase me in knowledge. You know, why is it that it's only knowledge from all of the things this dunya that Allah Ta'ala told the Messenger of Allah to make dua, you know, to Allah to increase it for him? Because it's only through knowledge that you find that this transformational change, inshallah, will take place in your life. So that's the first of the things that I have found. And then the second thing as well is that, you know, it helps to strengthen and solidify your spiritual connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you think about the number one thing so many Muslims at this time complain about, what is it? You know, the main thing you hear them complain about is they don't feel connected to Allah, right? Or they lack that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they feel some type of, you know, spiritual emptiness. And one of the main reasons that you'll find for that in a lot of cases is it's because they have very little input of knowledge in their lives. Because now you'll find that, you know, what happens with a large percentage of people is the only knowledge they're actually getting is from reading or watching other people's posts on Facebook or Instagram. You know, we've become a real social media generation. I mean, many people don't even pick up books anymore, right? So we need to, you know, we need to understand that, you know, if you don't really know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you haven't strengthened your heart adequately, you know, through learning about Tawheed and learning about Allah Ta'ala's beautiful names and attributes, and if you haven't studied the knowledge that you need in order to do tazkiyah of your nafs, you know, purifying your nafs so that you can, you know, rid your heart from those diseases that can, you know, prevent you from feeling that close spiritual connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is one of the main reasons why so many people end up feeling so spiritually void. This is also the reason why so many people often, you know, complain that when they pray, for example, it just feels robotic. So we need to realize that there's a big difference between the one who stands in front of Allah Ta'ala and they know who they're standing in front of. Like they stand before Allah and they know they're praying before Al-Ali, Al-Azim, Al-Aziz, you know, the most high, the most great, the most mighty, Al-Ghafur, the most forgiving, right? And so when they begin to pray, you know, when they begin to pray, you know, they even understand the words that they're saying and, you know, why they're saying them. And they know, you know, for example, how to recite the Quran and how to do tadabbur of, you know, the verses and how to achieve khushu' in their prayer. You know, like they know how to focus on the verses and how to achieve that true submission in the prayer that we're supposed to try to achieve. So there's a big difference between this person and the one who hasn't learned any of that. And this is why there's a huge difference between the benefit that we get from our prayers if we compare our prayers to how much benefit, you know, the Sahaba would, you know, how much they would benefit from their prayers. Because when they would stand in front of Allah Ta'ala and even just recite Surah Fatiha, you know, they start off with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And so they're praising Allah with all their heart, Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. Their heart lifts up in love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they say, Ar-Rahman Rahim, you know, the most merciful. And their hearts are lifted up in hope to Allah, hoping for His forgiveness and mercy, right? Maliki Yawmiddin. Now their hearts feel full of fear of Maliki Yawmiddin, you know, the owner of Yawm Al-Qiyamah. We're going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. You know, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. So you're turning to Allah with tawakkul, you know, asking Him for help to worship Him perfectly and, you know, and help in that. And ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim, you know, guide us to the straight path with hope and with tawakkul that Allah's going to keep you safe on this straight path, right? So there's a big difference between somebody who is going through the verses of the Quran, and then, you know, their heart is moving towards Allah with each verse, you know, and they're pondering on those verses. And you can imagine that when someone's doing that, you know, that they reach, you know, a level of ihsan. And then you reach that level of ihsan where you're worshipping Allah as if you can see Him. And even if you can't see Him, you know that He can see you. But then once you keep reaching that in your prayer, then when you leave your prayer, you find the effect of it is still lasting with you, subhanAllah, outside the prayer. So this is how, you know, subhanAllah, when Allah Ta'ala blesses you with knowledge, you find that everything you do as a Muslimah, it takes on a whole new meaning and color. And that's why Allah Ta'ala is actually, in another verse, He says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that verily, the ones who have khasha of Allah and have the true reverence and fear of Allah from His servants are the ones who have knowledge. Why? Because of how much knowledge, you know, awakens your heart and, you know, deepens your spiritual connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Okay, another benefit also is how, you know, knowledge, it actually, you know, builds you both inwardly and outwardly. One of the primary reasons why many people are having an identity crisis these days and are struggling to practice Islam outwardly is there's something missing in the way they've built themselves up inwardly. So we need to realize that the only way to be truly strong outwardly is if you first, you know, put in the work to strengthen yourself inwardly. And one of the main things that knowledge gives you is it helps you know your why, right? It helps you to know your why. And if you know your why, then you know what your ultimate purpose is in this world. And you know who you are, right? And what you need to do. You know what you need to do in order to be a winner in this life, inshallah. So that's why no matter what hardships or difficulties come your way, once you know your why, nothing can stand in your way of standing strong upon your faith and identity as a Muslimah, inshallah. And this is why you see that throughout the first 13 years of Islam, the vast majority of the verses that Allah Ta'ala was sending down were about Tawheed. Okay, those verses were mainly about Tawheed and having Iman in the day of resurrection. You know, what's the reason for that? In order to, you know, Allah Ta'ala wanted to build up the hearts and build up the yaqeen in the hearts, build up the certainty of faith in the hearts. So that when the verses of, you know, when the ahkam started to come down in Medina, when the verses of action, the commands were sent down in Medina, the Muslims were ready to say, Sami'na wa ata'na, you know, we hear and we obey. So that's why, sisters, if you can see that you have, you know, certain areas where you find you're struggling in your outward practice, it's important that you review the quality of knowledge that you're exposing yourself to. Because as Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, says, al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal, that, you know, knowledge comes before words and actions, right? So before you can have action, you first need to have the knowledge. So knowledge is what helps to generate that action, and it's what corrects your actions. All right? Okay, so a fourth point that I want to mention was how, you know, knowledge protects you from misguidance. Now, at this time when our ummah is being constantly exposed to so many different types of deviant lifestyles and ways of thinking, you know, none of us can afford to not be taking continual and active measures in order to protect ourselves and our families. In the past, you might have been able to get away with relying on the limited knowledge that you received from your parents or, you know, the Islamic school that you went to. But now we're in a time where, you know, remaining ignorant, especially about the fundamentals of your deen, it's no longer a choice anymore. And we need to realize that, you know, the stronger you find that negative push is against your faith and against your morals and principles as a Muslimah, the more proactive you need to be in pushing back harder against all of that. Now, one of the problems we're seeing these days with our youth in particular is that, you know, they go into higher education with less than even basic levels of knowledge of their deen. And then suddenly they're finding themselves exposed to all kinds of, you know, deviant ideologies like atheism, you know, liberalism, and some of the more extreme forms of feminism. So unless someone has a proper foundation of Islamic knowledge, how are they going to be able to distinguish between what is haq and what is batil? You know, what is the truth? What is falsehood? What is the halal and what is the haram? You know, how are they going to know where do I need to draw the line with what I'm learning and when it begins to completely contradict Islam, right? So what that person's actually doing is, you know, basically if you're entering into an environment where your aqidah is going to be challenged on a day-to-day basis and you don't have, you know, the solid foundation to begin with, it's pretty much like throwing someone in the middle of the ocean before even teaching them how to swim. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned us that, you know, a time's going to come where you're going to see a lot of confusion and differing. So in one narration, he says, فَإِنَّهُ مَن يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. The one of you who lives long, then whoever lives long from amongst you, he's going to see a lot of differing. Okay, now the differing he was talking about, it wasn't differences in fiqh. Okay, like whether you pray, like, is one of you prays like a Hanafi, or, you know, if I pray like a Hanbali, it's not those type of differences. We're allowed to have those type of differences, right? The differing that he was speaking about was the differing about the fundamentals in the deen. And this is what we're seeing right now, where people are beginning to even question things like, you know, is hijab fard or not? Or, you know, what about the act of homosexuality? Is that haram? You know, or, you know, for example, is the authentic sunnah even an actual source of legislation? So we have people now who will actually say, you know, no, I think we should only follow the Quran. So the Prophet ﷺ, he told us that when you see that, that's the time you need to cling tightly onto his sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, the sunnah of the rightly guided Khulafa. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. Upon you is my sunnah, وَالسُنَّةُ الْخُلَفَاء الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ. You know, and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, the right, the, you know, upright and guided Khulafa. And then he says, عَضُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. You know, to the level he says, hold on to that sunnah so tight as if you're biting onto it with your molars. So we need to realize that in order for you to be able to cling onto his sunnah and to, you know, save yourself and your family from his guidance, you first need to have the knowledge of what that sunnah is. Right? You first need to have the knowledge of what that sunnah is. Otherwise, the reality is you're basically leaving yourself like a vulnerable target for others to confuse and misguide you from the straight path. Right, so the last thing I want to speak about, inshallah, is that it's only through increasing our knowledge at both the individual level and also within our homes and communities that we can raise the standards of the ummah and move forward. Okay, so Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, he tells us, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Say, are those who know like those who do not know? This is how we remind those who, you know, reflect. So sisters, we need to realize that, you know, an ummah that's filled with women who have knowledge is not going to be like an ummah where very few women have knowledge. And when you think about many of the problems affecting women in the ummah today, and you compare to the society of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what's the missing dynamic that you can see? When you look at the ummah today, right? Where are the Aishas in the ummah? Where are the Salamas? Where are the Hafsas of our ummah, right? So, you know, and we find, you know, we hear a lot of women, you know, they complain about the lack of female scholars, for example, the lack of female role models in the ummah. But we need to also ask ourselves, what are we personally doing to change that narrative in the first place? So sisters, we need to realize, you know, that we need to realize the power we have as women to, you know, influence and bring about positive change in the ummah. Sometimes we just think, you know, we're leaving the da'wah for the men, but this is not the right thing to do. We need to realize that we are a part of this ummah too, and we have also power as women, a great power, subhanAllah, as women, you know, to influence and bring about positive change in the ummah. You know, to the level, it's not an exaggeration to say that this ummah is not going to move forward until we, as the women of this ummah, step up and realize the role we all have and that we all need to, you know, play in taking this ummah forward. Because as many scholars have said, that women are the backbone of this ummah. And that's something we forget about that. Unfortunately, you know, we've forgotten our true role in the ummah, right? So we're going to realize we have a special role. Most of us play a very special role as, you know, either teachers or nurturers, you know, and we are, like, subhanAllah, women are considered to be, if you look at women, the role that the majority of women play, either as teachers or nurturers or like change makers, but we are the change makers of the ummah from within. So, you know, but you have to understand that the only way for us to be effective in that is we first need to have the knowledge. Now, another thing we also hear a lot of sisters speaking about is female empowerment. But we need to realize that, you know, if you want to be strong in your identity as a Muslimah, if you want to feel, you know, confident in raising your voice against, you know, injustice or, you know, oppression, then, you know, having knowledge of your deen is one of the greatest forms of empowerment that you could be given. If you look at Aisha, radiallahu anha, what was it that gave her that leverage to be able to have the, you know, the confidence to, you know, speak up for the truth and not worry about what other people thought about her? You know, what gave her the ability to even fearlessly, you know, correct statements said by some of the heads of Sahaba? It was her knowledge, right? So in order for you to have the confidence as a woman, you know, to stand up for your rights, you need to know what your Islamic rights and responsibilities are in the first place. Because sisters, if you don't know your rights, this is what I always tell sisters, if you don't know your rights, you also will not know your boundaries, right? And if you don't know where to draw the line and when something is no longer actually your responsibility or from what you'll be questioned about, then, you know, that all comes back to not really knowing your rights and responsibilities in Islam, right? So this is one of the greatest reasons I find for why so many women today get taken advantage of. What's the main reason? Because, like, one of the main reasons I see is the lack of knowledge. Because sadly, the reality is that when you don't have the knowledge, it's so easy for anyone to, you know, push you into accepting situations that you should never have to accept for yourself. And so this is why what we really need is to get back to the days when, you know, a woman would have enough confidence to correct a mistake made by even the likes of someone like Omar, radiallahu anhu. You know, one time when he was Khalifa, he stood on the minbar in the masjid telling the Muslims that, you know, he wanted to restrict the amount of mahar, the amount of dowry that can be given to a woman in marriage. And so look how that woman approached him after he got down from the minbar and said, "Yeah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, have you prohibited people from paying more than 400 dirhams in a dowry for women?" And he told her, "Yes." And so she said, "You know, haven't you heard what Allah Ta'ala has said in the Quran, where he said, وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا." Haven't you heard when Allah Ta'ala said, when you gave them, we gave one of them a qintar, like a huge amount of money, a huge amount of gold, then do not take anything from it, right? And she said, and a qintar is a very large amount. And so subhanAllah, in one report, it actually mentions that when Omar heard that from her, he said, "Verily a woman has arrived at the truth while Omar has erred," right? SubhanAllah. But what I'm looking at here is, you know, the confidence that she had to go and correct that, right? Or go call that out. So, you know, in conclusion, dear sisters, I just want to end by, you know, by saying that we need to change the importance that many of us are currently placing on seeking knowledge. You know, think about it. For centuries, it's been so difficult for women in particular to access knowledge. Like, it wasn't easy in the past. Like, after the first generations, Even for men, it was difficult to seek knowledge. There was a lot of barriers, you know, travel barriers, all kind of things like that. So it was difficult for women over the centuries to access knowledge. But now, you know, we have so many more opportunities, subhanAllah, to gain that knowledge. But yet how many of us are in reality, you know, making knowledge a priority in our lives? You know, and like I was saying before, especially at this time, that we're living in when none of us can afford to not be at least somewhere on this path. You know, we have to ask ourselves, why is it that we have so much time for so many things that have absolutely no benefit whatsoever? Like, how long do we spend every day and every week on, you know, Facebook scrolling or Instagram or Snapchat or maybe TikTok or wherever we are, right? But we can't find the time in a whole week for gaining some type of knowledge, right? So sisters, even if it's just, you know, one class you attend a week, whether it's online or offline, but at least be somewhere on this path. I think that's the major message I want to bring home, you know, bring to everyone tonight, you know. And you know, sisters, I can't tell you how many times sisters come to my classes and I'm telling you, sisters, they regret the years they wasted not learning the Quran, not learning their deen. And the older you get, let me tell you, you will regret eventually if you don't start taking that path. So, like, what I really want to say to everybody tonight is, you know, just don't die with regrets. You know, don't wait till it's too late. Take that path as soon as possible. So I'll leave it there, my dear sisters. I ask Allah to fill our hearts with a love for his knowledge. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to show us the straight path and to keep us on the straight path until we meet him subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to expose us only to the knowledge which benefits and to protect us from the knowledge which does not benefit, which we are so surrounded in this day and age. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. Ya Allah, we ask you, we seek protection with you from the knowledge which does not benefit. Wa min qalbin la yakhsha, and from the heart that does not fear you. Wa min nafsin la tashba, and from the nafs that does not get satisfied. Wa min da'watin la yustajabu laha, and from the dua that does not get answered. Wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد ولا إله إلا أن نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear sisters.